This program is sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.
This radio program is PG-13. Parents strongly caution some material may be inappropriate for children under the age of 13. Set me free. Of the chains holding me.
Is anybody out there hearing me? Set me free. Jesus' mission was to comfort those who mourn, bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to captives, and open prison doors for those who are bound. For those who want more than status quo Christianity has to offer, Blazing Grace Radio begins now. And here is your host, Mike Janung.
Hey, Mike Janung here. Welcome back to Blazing Grace Radio. Glad to have you along on this battlefield we call life. Before I get to my guests, a couple announcements. Tonight we are having a night of prayer from 10 p.m. Central Time to 2 a.m. U.S. Central Time. And those who have been listening to this broadcast know that I talk about prayer a lot and how it is so critical during these times and the desperate need to fire up prayer meetings. And this is why we have 8 support and prayer groups going on during the week. So if you ever want to get plugged in, contact information is at the end of the broadcast. And then our friends in the UK, are scheduled to be there early October. So if you want to set up a conference or some kind of meeting, I've had people mention about coming and speaking to men's groups and other things there, wives groups, send us an email. So back in 2006, when we were broadcasting from Colorado Springs, Jason and I interviewed David Zaylor, and now 18 years later, we welcome back to the program. David is the founder of Operation Integrity, a Christ-centered organization that helps men and women face the reality of addiction and transform their lives. He is also on the faculty with the Leadership Institute, which mentors Christian leaders and champions Christ-centered recovery internationally. David lives in Laguna Niguel, California. Boy, I love that on the beach. Where he is active in his community and enjoys running and cycling, and his latest book is Death of a Fisherman. David, welcome back to the program.
Well, thank you, Mike. I can hardly believe it's been 18 years. It's where has the time gone so quick?
Yeah, I know. It's blasted through.
Thanks for having me today.
So are you calling from Laguna Niguel today?
I am. I'm actually calling from my home office. Today's a writing day. With this nice break to chat with you, and so I'll work from home today.
Mm. So how far are you from the beach?
My house is about 4 miles from the beach. It's in Laguna Niguel. That's about the farthest you can go from the beach, but it's a quick bike ride or a nice jog there and back. I have lived here since 1989, and so it has definitely become home, and it's been very good to me here. I thank God for this place.
Mm. All right, well, let's kick this into gear and start with having you share your story.
Okay. Well, I'm a born and bred Texan, proud of it. Even though I've lived here for 30-something years, I have my Texas blood still pumps in me from top to bottom, and raised in a Christian church-attending family that was full of secrets and sadness, deep shame, narcissism, and addiction. We went to church several times a week. Smiled, wore the nice clothes, sang the songs. While at home, it was a place of great sadness. As a child, I suffered some sexual abuse from a friend of the family who is also a member of the same church. that bestowed upon me great shame and sadness that I grew up with. There was, you know, this is back in the 60s, and there was no conversation for anything like this. There was no one to speak to. There was nowhere to go. So as a child, I was just stuck with my secrets and shame.
How old were you?
I'm sorry?
How old were you?
How old? It was a series of sexual assaults over 8, 9, and 10 years of age.
Oh, okay.
And so, but amazingly enough, I mean, as an adult, I actually became quite functional. After the assaults as a child, I struggled in school and got in trouble with behavior, was sent to see doctors, and was actually diagnosed, and back in the day they called it mentally retarded. And then I was pulled out of school and put into a school for poorly emotionally or intellectually developed children. And so that was kind of my educational family background. But I came out of there into high school just trying to work hard, trying to make something of myself, and worked hard in various jobs. And but in my 20s, I fell into alcoholism, as is so often the case with unhealed child abuse. Addiction took hold, and I struggled with alcohol and drug use until I was 41 years old. During that time, I was functional. I had a job. I had a home. I actually went to church on a fairly regular basis. But I could never escape the shame or the deep sense of misery and the feeling that I just felt the world would be better off without me. At 41, I got some help and was sent to a treatment program. And in the treatment program, through counseling and the 12-step fellowships, I began to address the reality of my addictions and the underlying issues that fueled them. And let's see, that's been 25 years now. So in the 25 years of recovery, I can't even begin to express how much things have changed. I had to make some very difficult decisions about how I was interacting with my family, because I had to decide whether or not I was going to live the life that God was offering me in recovery, or whether I was going to still be shackled to shame and secrets of our family. And I chose recovery. And somewhere along the way, I guess it was about 2001, me and several other guys started a recovery group for porn addiction at a local church here in Laguna Niguel. That group grew very quickly. Within a couple of years, we had 40-something men attending. We ended up incorporating, and that became Operation Integrity, which is today grown to address addiction in every form. And I have developed this kind of unintended but deeply appreciated career in writing and doing communications work to help people understand the grace of God, especially how the grace of God is bestowed and offered to people who are addicted to help them enter into a long-term recovery effort. So, in a nutshell, I hope I haven't been too confusing and too rambling, but that's a quick few-minute synopsis of my life story.
So you said you first got abused at the age of 8, and it went on for a couple years. So was this inside the home, outside the home?
It was related to church activities. The first time was on a church fishing picnic trip. The second was at a church event going to a baseball game. And then the third one was actually in the church building. So I speak a little bit. I speak about it in my book, Death of a Fisherman. I try to speak to the details honestly, in a very straightforward way without being lost in them. As a person in long-term recovery, the past abuse I suffered is certainly something that can be discussed, and I never turn away from the history and the reality of it. But it's not the center of my world, and it's not the center of my conversation.
Sure.
It was the center of my life. For me. As long as it was kept secret, it was the hidden center of my life.
So was this a family friend or relative?
Family friend, yes. Family friend from the church.
And did you tell your parents, and how did they respond?
I did not tell my parents because I didn't know what – I mean, I didn't know – at 8, 9 years old back then, again, I didn't know exactly what happened. I just knew that it was so confusing and so horrible. I realized later that my mother had known or had found out, but she was silenced. Actually, I should say both my parents knew. They figured it out. They knew what happened, but my father's narcissism, and he, at all costs, he was going to protect his relationship and his reputation with his church. And he was a very prominent musician in churches back in the day. And that was his priority. So, no, I didn't get any help. I was just stuck with it had to grow up kind of walking with a limp, you might say. And then once I got into recovery, I actually went in therapy and in the 12-step process began to work through it and address my woundedness. And was able to move on in such a way where it was no longer kind of this ongoing bleeding emotional wound.
So are you saying Dad, in effect, didn't want to, I don't know, deal with this issue of being molested because he didn't want to get out and soiling his reputation?
That's it. Yeah, he wanted nothing to do with the he wanted nothing to do with it, this is what happens in families that are ruled by a narcissist, is the narcissist will control and even allow the family members to suffer and to experience great pain and in order to protect the reputation and the emotional convenience of the narcissist. So at the emotional level, I was kind of the sacrificial child, so to speak.
Did you have siblings?
I have a sister, yes, an older sister.
Oh, okay. You don't have to speak with her if you don't want to, but did she encounter any, you know, getting abused in any way?
You know what? I'm just not in a place to speak about my sister's experience.
Sure.
I don't know everything about her life, but people have asked me, you know, because it's a family dynamic, people had asked me about my relationship with my siblings. And I'm guarded about that simply because I'm not in a position to tell their stories. and I certainly want to respect their privacy. And I don't know. I don't know the answers to most of the questions.
Okay. Did you hear I love you from Dad or Mom very often?
Never.
Never?
From my mom, never from my dad.
Mm. Hugs, affection?
From my mother, never from my dad.
So as a boy, how did you internalize your beliefs about life and about who you are?
Well, I grew up feeling like that I was bad. And I grew up feeling like I was stupid. You know, there was certainly a dynamic that I understand now that I could never have understood when I was a child, is that we had our scripting in the family. Mm. And the father was the important one. He was the talented one. And my sister was the school. I mean, she was super smart, made great. She did great in school, and she was popular, and people really liked her. My mother battled with profound depression, I'm sure because she was married to who she was married to. Mm. It's amazing, people who struggle with depression, if they just get away from the people who are abusing them, how their lives get so much better. But my mom, she was stuck, and she didn't have any other options. It was in the 60s and 70s. She's married to this prominent man in the South, didn't have much family support. And she actually, so her role was to be the sick one. She was often hospitalized for her profound depression. And over the years, her depression and mental illness played out, and she took her life, died by suicide in 1986. And that what I realize now is almost this instantaneous turn that once she was dead and gone, I took on the role as the troubled one in the family. And I can see now how I was kind of being groomed for that, and it was inheriting that role as I grew up, being diagnosed as mentally retarded, put in, you know, we jokingly called it the retard school. And so I was stupid and lazy, when in reality I wasn't stupid and I was not lazy. But that's how people referred to me, and so I just kind of played along with it. And it wasn't until I got into recovery that I began to unpack these family dynamics, which gave me the opportunity to go, wait a minute, this isn't right. I'm not going to live like this. And I'm not the stupid one. I've never been the lazy one. But as a child, to answer your question, that's how I grew up. And even though I worked hard as a young teen, I worked, you know, I always had an after school job, but that never dawned on me. I never saw kind of the drive and the motivation in that. I just was still following the script, even though I was living a life that was pretty admirable for a child of that age.
Well, yeah, just coping and making your way through being, I mean, sexual abuse is rape of the soul. And
absolutely.
I was molested by my mother myself, so I can relate to everything you're saying. And I try to have people on these broadcasts to talk openly about these issues because sexual abuse in the church is very prevalent today. You see news articles all the time of a youth pastor or a senior pastor, somebody in a trusted leadership position who has done something to a child or a teen. And so what does it do to a youth? I mean, you were molested in the church. What does it do to a youth and their perspective on God and what that means.
Well, it crushes the innocence, and it places a burden of confusion and shame on a child that they are certainly not equipped to deal with. And they carry that forward. You know, the great tragedy long term is not the episode or episodes. It's not the event or the events. It's the secrets. It's being stuck alone with it. It's having no one to talk to, mm-hmm. nowhere to go, nowhere to find a conversation or relationships of understanding and compassion. When we are alone like that, the world is never a safe place. And I find it interesting that the obvious, well-understood connection between child abuse and childhood sexual abuse that later on these individuals end up struggling with various forms of self-destruction and addictions. And all of these forms of self-destruction and addiction have one thing in common. It's the spiraling into isolation. And whereas to do the work of recovery, to do the work of healing, not just for the addiction, but for the underlying causes, the underlying kind of the supporting structure, the energy that compels this kind of movement towards isolation, all of that requires this movement towards connection, towards fellowship, and to really enter and begin to be building healthy interaction and relationships with ourself and with God and with other people. Mm. And Mike, I got to tell you, people, when people talk about having healthy relationships with themselves or God or other people, I don't think you have a healthy relationship with any one of those three without pursuing health and healing with all three. So when people say, oh, I have a great relationship with God, but not a great relationship with humans, I don't buy it. Or when people can't face themselves honestly and come to terms with their brokenness, both what was done to them and what they have done to themselves and other people, if we can't face ourselves, there's no way we can be honest in our face-to-face interaction with God and other people.
Well, yeah, and isn't that because we are compartmentalizing?
Right. Right.
So, David, we have 2 minutes left. So take a minute, anything you want to say.
Well, first of all, what a wonderful experience it is to be reconnecting with you after 18 years. Boy, it's been fast 18 years. Also, anyone that's listening here, if you've related to anything I have had to say, I would encourage you to pursue every opportunity for healing that God may provide, even those things that you may find uncomfortable or unattractive. And, you know, God does not work in the way that we think he should. And that's part of the great mystery and the adventure of being a disciple. Because when Jesus says, hey, come follow me, he doesn't tell us exactly where we're going to go. He just says, follow me.
Yep.
So it's, some people will call that a leap of faith, blind faith, whatever you might call it. But it's, if people are trying to be in control of their own healing process, they're probably not experiencing a whole lot of healing.
Well, we're out of time, my friend, but
thank you
for joining us. And my friends, next week we are going to continue this conversation with David Zahler. So we'll see you next time. Do you want to be free?
Blazing Grace is a nonprofit international ministry for the sexually broken and the spouse. Please visit us at blazinggrace.org for information on Mike Janung's books, groups, counseling, or to have Mike speak at your organization. You can email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call our office in Chandler, Arizona at 719-888-5144. Again, visit us at blazinggrace.org. Email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call the office at 719-888-5144.
This program was sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.